Welcome to the St Kilda Talks podcast, December show. I'm Greg Day, your host, and creator of This Week in St Kilda newsletter, a list of arts, music and community events in St Kilda. If you don't already get the newsletter every Sunday at 7pm, simply search G'day St Kilda to find our website and subscribe for free. Today we have a AAA guest list. That's actor, activist and authors. Just what you'd expect in St Kilda. Today we'll be talking to Brett Cousins from Red Stitch Actors Theatre. No Bout will discuss Oil, their epic current production. We'll also reveal their 2020 playlist. Author Dave Willis, whose fascination with the rich history of St Kilda has prompted his latest book, A Guide to Historic St Kilda, which is being launched this month at Reading St Kilda, will also drop by. So will Peter McEwen from the Pride Centre Board, who'll give us an update on the progress of this exciting development for the beleaguered Fitzroy Street. And our face in the crowd this month is Karen Sate from the Port Phillip Community Group. Our surprise co-host this month is Carmel Shute, comrade, rabble-rouser, and definitely a woman with a fantastic database. Tell me, Carmel, when you're not making trouble, what are you doing?
Well, most of the time I'm organising criminally minded sisters in crime. I know it sounds like we all get together and rob banks, but we're just really passionate about women's crime writing.
Yes, and this has got a great connection to St Kilda, this Sisters in Crime, has it not?
It has. So for most of our existence, we've met in St Kilda, and we've been now going for 28 years, which I can't believe that this is the case.
It's a lot of crime, 28 years.
It is a lot of crime, and I have to say, of all the things I've been involved in, it's been one of the most effective things, certainly more effective than left-wing politics.
Well, I do love Sisters in Crime because, as a brother-in-law, I've come to two of your functions and won the raffle on both occasions.
Well, this happens almost every time a man comes to a Sisters in Crime function, he wins the raffle. It's some sort of perverse thing.
Well, that's extraordinary, isn't it? Well, we've been discussing beforehand some good Christmas gift ideas.
Well, one of the great places is just near where I live, and it's called Space to Be Social Design. And it's in Chapel Street, at the opposite the back end of St Kilda Primary.
Yes, it's 144 Chapel Street.
And they exist to, or it exists to support newly arrived migrants and refugees, and it has a fabulous range of clothes, jewellery, wall hangings, toys for kiddies, particularly sort of cloth toys. And it's also got a gallery, and they're having a big exhibition all December right through to the end of January, 100 artworks around the theme of peace. It's a lovely place. I've gone and bought quite a few presents there in the past, particularly for those friends of mine who are into Frida Kahlo, and there's quite a few of those.
Yes, it's a social enterprise focusing on design by refugees.
That's right, and it's a terrific place.
Yeah, it's another similar place in Ackland Street called Empower, which specialises in works that are created in Southeast Asia by women who've escaped trafficking. Another thing that's interesting is the Grieve Street Recycled Op Shop, which is in Belford Street, and that's the op shop that's connected to the St Kilda Gatehouse project.
And it has fabulous secondhand clothes in it. I've been there and I've bought things.
Another thing too would be the Salvo store in St Kilda, which I believe you have an account at.
Pretty much. It's got a massive store mostly with clothing and footwear and so on, but the next door is a fabulous kitchenware extension. And out the back of that, they have a really top-class second-hand bookshop. And these are books that are, you know, very recent, they're in good nick, they're really well, you know, high-level literature, not just rubbish. And I've bought some fabulous books there. Not that I need any more books at my house, really.
A carefully chosen recycled gift from an op shop is a double winner. Now, did you get a chance to go to the big sculpture at Veg Out Gardens?
No, I missed it this year, but I have been before, and I think it's such a marvellous idea.
Yes, well, I went down on the open day, and there are lots of people down there, but would like to know, the People's Choice Award was won by Bums on Seats, which was by Nicole Allen, which is a sculpture of the women's torsos with the silver shoes. Well, and speaking of art, did you have a look at the Paul Kelly mural on the ESPY as you arrived?
I did. Fantastic.
It's good. Looks good, doesn't it?
Well, and it's one of my, of course, my favourite songs ever, from St Kilda to King's Cross.
And are you going to quote any of the lyrics to me, Carmen?
Where even the palm trees do it hard.
That's right. Well, I've looked into a bit into the background of that mural, and it's a mural of Paul Kelly by an artist called Scott Marsh, and it was put together by the ESPY and EMI because he's got a new Greatest Hits album coming out, so it's a bit of publicity. But Paul was in St Kilda last week doing poetry readings from his new book of 300 poems that he loves, not written by him, but poems that he loves, called Love is as Strong as Death. So, you know, look for that for your Christmas list.
I will, and I'm certainly looking out for the Greatest Hits because my true love is an enormous fan of Paul Kelly's.
Well, it's a double album. And so in the spirit of poetry, I'm going to read a couple of lines. So I want to see the sun go down from St Kilda Esplanade, where the beach needs reconstruction, where the palm trees have it hard. I'd give you all of Sydney Harbour, all that land and all that water, for that one sweet promenade. So here is, for your listening pleasure, St Kilda to King's Cross from Paul Kelly's 1985 album, Post.
Watch the white lines rushing past, and all around me felt like all inside me, and my body left me, and my soul went running. Have you ever seen King's Cross when the rain is falling soft? I came in on the evening bus from Oxford Street. I cut across, and if the rain don't fall too hard, everything shines just like a postcard. Everything goes on just the same. Fair weather friends are the holiest friends. I keep my mouth well shut, I cross with open hands. Where the palm trees have it hard, I give you all of Sydney Harbour, all that land and all that water, for that one sweet promenade. I give you all of Sydney Harbour, all that land and all that water, for that one sweet promenade.
I'm Michelle Nichol. I get my fix of TWISK on Facebook. Just search TWISK, TWISK, and click like.
So So I'd like to welcome Peter McEwen, who's the director of the Victorian Pride Centre, who's going to talk to us about the progress of the Pride Centre on the beleaguered Fitzroy Street. So welcome, Peter.
Yes, thanks, Greg. Well, first progress. We're at ground level now, and we'll be up to mezzanine level before Christmas with a ramp, and we're just in the final stages of getting the final approvals for building and protection works for the portico, the all-important portico that comes out over Fitzroy Street.
Okay, that's great. So it's good to know, and you've got the first signed-up tenant as well.
We have, Minus 18, which is a remarkable group for young LGBTI people. They're so impressive. You should see their strategic plan. It's mind-blowing. But we've got them. We've got Switchboard. We're negotiating with, almost signed up, and Joy 94.9 radio station. And, yes, and we're still working our way through the other resident orgs, the Gay and Lesbian Archives, Melbourne Queer Film Festival, the Multi-Faith Multicultural Group.
Well, that's good. So I was just trying to get a handle on what the kind of day traffic would be.
Well, it's hard to say, but someone like Joy 94.9, they have 600 volunteers a week through there. And it's the resident orgs, that they might only have small staff, like the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, very small skeleton staff, but come January and February as they're gearing up, that's when all the volunteers come in. The volunteers need training and they need a home. Similarly with Midsummer Festival. We hope they'll be using that too as a base for their activities and volunteers.
So it's a genuine hub.
Yeah, that's right. And plus a medical clinic. We've got Thorn Harbour Health. We're still negotiating with there. They've already got the centre clinic in Fitzroy Street and we're still negotiating with them to come on board to have a full clinic.
Is there venue spaces in it as well?
There are. But we believe that we don't want to be a building just away from the street. We want to be part of the precinct. Now, if there's one thing Fitzroy Street's got, it's plenty of venues. So we won't be expecting to have a venue. There are venues there. We hope we can actually energise them and have some of the activity happening outside. So, but there is a theatreette, but that'll be used for all sorts of purposes. There's a rooftop, and then there's a couple of conference rooms as well. But the whole ground floor is basically public access. And able to be used.
They build these things so quickly now, so once you're off the,
ground, this time next year we'll be there. It's all over. It's all completely finished.
Well, I'll have to come down and record something there.
Absolutely.
And the design is magnificent. Yes, it is. It is outstanding.
And what's remarkable about the design, because we had a national architectural competition endorsed by the Institute of Architects, and that architectural competition drew a very big spread of architects, but the people who won it in the end were two locals.
Yes, it's fantastic.
James Brearley, Brearley Architecture and Urbanism, and, of course, Grant Amon up there at the George Hotel. Either the offices on either side of the Pride Centre, really. And that was really a labour of love. But what I love about their design is they've actually taken the iconography of St Kilda, the sort of Moorish arches, the feel of St Kilda.
And that bit of Art Deco look.
Yeah, and but they've done it in a timeless, modernist way. So it doesn't reek of anything sentimental, but it belongs, it could only belong to St Kilda. It's an expression of St Kilda. And that's masterful, really. And in the local is the universal.
All right, okay, yeah, that's absolutely. But now I think the interesting that there's a lot of people are hoping that this building will make a big impact on Fitzroy Street. And you're involved in some other elements as a local?
Well, I am, because although I'm responsible for chairing the property committee for building the centre, we realise that there's no point in having a centre that's predicated on a safe and sustainable home for the LGBTI community if the precinct itself is not safe and the perceptions of safety are not good in Fitzroy Street. So therefore, I represent the Pride Centre on the Fitzroy Street Placemaking Reference Group, and we're just finalising tonight, actually, the place plan, which is really traders and community have come together to do this plan. It's not a council plan, it's our plan. And it just sets our vision and our priority for the street. But we acknowledge, I'd say, that around that table we have the police represented, we have various service providers represented, Sacred Heart and others like that. But around that table, the biggest issue is not more seating and more artworks and whatever, it is the perceptions of safety. And that's a real issue.
The thing I find interesting here, which is partly why I do this podcast, is because I went to the forum that was held here with the live music industry.
Yeah.
And everybody talked about the barriers of the negative perceptions.
Yes.
That it was really getting in the way of an audience. And as audiences declined.
Even here.
Well, no, the forum was here.
Yeah.
But it was all people from. So it was live music promoters from St Kilda. So part of the reason for doing this podcast is to promote the cultural capital so that more people will come, because with more people comes more oomph for facilities, more a feeling of safety.
That's right.
So it's all kind of all interconnected.
And that's what I think, that's why I believe the council's been so supportive of the Pride Centre, because it will be bringing in vast numbers of people for daytime activity. Plus, it will be operating 24 hours a day, largely. But it's that daytime activity. People working there and visiting there.
Best cure to a negative image is positive experience. So.
Yep. But it's interesting that I did see that cider and beer event that they had a couple of weekends ago. And I was quite amazed at just how many people it drew, mostly young women. They were having 14 different places to have a wine, working their way through the street. But my God, they showed up.
But in the afternoon.
Yes.
It's an afternoon event, a ticketed afternoon event. Peter, we'll have to bid you farewell now.
Okay.
Thanks so much for coming on. You're all welcome. Power to you with the Pride Centre.
Thanks, Greg. You have been very supportive too from day one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
And Carmel too. Thank you.
Thank you. Now I'd like to introduce author Dave Willis, who's got a book coming out this month called A Guide to Historic St Kilda. So, Dave, pleased to meet you.
Hello, pleased to meet you, Greg, and hello, Carmel.
David, what prompted you to write this book?
I moved to St Kilda. I'm a bit of a blow-in, I guess. I preempt my answer to with saying that. But I moved to the St Kilda from New South Wales 7 years ago, and was very interested in the building that I moved to, and that was called the Majestic on Fitzroy Street. I've always been a bit of a history buff, and I sort of wondered what sort of stories the Majestic told. And I started to do some research and talked to many people who had their own stories about St Kilda. And I realised after a little while that St Kilda is full of stories. And so after writing my first book just about the Majestic, I held on to some of those stories and some of the wonderful contacts that I've met in writing the first book to establish, I guess, a bit of a scaffold for our stories of St Kilda. I call it the spirit of St Kilda, I guess, and I don't propose to retell the stories that many other wonderful people have told about St Kilda and our wonderful history, but what I attempt to do is to provide, I guess, a very accessible way that people can understand our past and understand their stories within that context.
Yes, well, we love a good story in St Kilda. I live in Edgewater Towns.
Ah.
And during the Open Melbourne Week, we have an open house and 400 people come.
Indeed.
And some of my neighbours have curated a...
Edgewater Towers actually features in A Guide to Historic St Kilda.
Oh, and so it should.
Indeed. It's a modernist building, sort of the early days of our high-rise in Melbourne. And also those social stories, as you mentioned, the people who have lived there. And I think Sidney Nolan's mum was one. The guy who designed the Volkswagen was another. And for each of the 50 places that I talk about in the guide, I found a nifty fact. And most locals will know these, but people who are visiting may not. So, for example, the bowling green up on Fitzroy Street. The actual spot, I think, where the on the corner there was an alpaca paddock originally when it was a park and wholly a park. They brought alpacas over from Bolivia in the early 1860s. Half the herd went to Royal Park in the city, and half the herd came over here to St Kilda. Our lot got all moth-eaten and a bit blistery, and so we failed with our alpacas, and they were sent back. But the locals hung on to that history and called it the alpaca paddock, and fought tooth and nail against actually establishing the bowling club on the alpaca paddock. They wanted to retain that history. They lost. We've got the bowling green. Hooray.
It was probably the same reasons they objected to having a skate park just next to it. You know, not in my front yard. Not That's exactly. been the story of Fitzroy Street.
And, tell us another nifty fact.
Oh, let's see. I really love this one. I guess it pushes my social justice buttons, and that's the story of Cleve Gardens and the Parkies. And the locals will know this story. It dates around to the time of the first Grand Prix when Melbourne opened its doors to everybody. Everybody but the people who were around and about Cleve Garden, and they included many Aboriginal people who were fondly termed the Parkies, who used the Cleve Gardens as a meeting place, a social place. The local traders and some of the residents didn't quite like the composition of the people who were in the park, so they came through and demolished the toilet, moved all the parkies out. And what have they done? They've put a memorial Aboriginal garden with a few little art installations, a couple of memorials and one for the LGBTIQ community. So I say something about my nifty fact being moved on, then memorialised.
So, David, we must end it there, but indeed. Your book's being launched.
Book being launched on Tuesday, the 10th of December. Down here at Readings on Ackland Street, 6:30 for a 6:30 start. I have the wonderful Councillor David Brand officially launching the book.
Terrific. Well, he's an architect. He knows
indeed,
his stuff.
And he knows his stuff.
Thanks so much for coming in, David.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Now I'd like to welcome Brett Cousins, who's a founding ensemble member at Red Stitch Theatre. G'day, Brett.
How are you, Greg? Carmel, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Good.
Well, we often like to ask people what they've seen in the neighbourhood lately in their own kind of artistic life.
I was just saying I'm a daddy, so I'm not getting out as much as I would like of two little bubbers, but I did get out to see Meow Meow's show at Malthouse Theatre, Apocalypse Meow. Christmas themed cabaret as only Meow could do, Meow Meow, and she was great. And she was very upset actually on stage that she was doing a Christmas show in bloody November, because that's the only booking she could get, and she made sure we all knew about it during the show.
Yes, and also just went to the announcement of your Red Stitch 2020 playlist.
Yep.
Last week, and yep. So. What's the most exciting thing in that for you?
The true is the most exciting thing, which I happen to be directing by Shah White.
Don't be bashful.
Yeah, no, I'm pumped. That's a ripping play. I had a mate who came back from New York, and he goes, "This is the best play ever. It was off Broadway, and I just saw it." And then we chased it for about 6 months, and then.
And this is the Australian premiere,
is it?
It
is,
not?
It is. And they said, no, you can't have it. And then we chased it for longer and longer and longer. Eventually we got it. And then I was like, no one can touch it. And now I'm directing it.
Well, and one of the miracles about Red Stitch is that really compressed space and the budgetary limitations of the settings.
Oh, yeah, that's the magic of it, is our budgetary limitations. But our subscribers do abuse us if we even hint at getting a really big venue. Like, we do tend to – we've kind of outgrown the theatre we're in, but all our subscribers are just saying to us, you know, if you go big, you'll stuff it up. Like, you know, the intimacy is something we really need to protect.
And so what's the feedback then on Cromwell Road?
We're still hearing it because Cromwell Road, for those who don't know, is Red Stitch was kind of bursting at the seams opposite the Astor in St Kilda, and then we found Cromwell Road and took it on as a space, which was the former Polyglot space in South Yarra. And we put on our first play there, Oil, which has opened only a fortnight ago. So, there's been a lot of companies. We don't think that this space is, you know, the all-encompassing future for Red Stitch. It's probably not, to be honest. But it's a very fascinating venue that is actually holding up and performing very well in this capacity, in this big, sprawling 120-year epic that we're putting on right now with 10 actors, whatever it is. So, you know, that's great. The audiences are coming, which is great. We weren't sure if they were willing to make the trip. So, you know, Cromwell Road's an interesting step for us. We had to do something because the waiting lists were just getting too long, which is a lovely problem to have.
Yeah, it's an oil. It's a three-hour production.
Yeah. As I said in the speech on opening night, I said, you know, it's as long as a decent European film, like, just get over it, art house film. Like, come on. 3 hours including an interval, you'll be right.
That's fantastic.
It's good. It's fine if it's good, and this one is, so that's fortunate.
Well, it's been getting, good reviews. And,
many stars.
And it's a great, it's a big topic.
Yeah, it's humongous. It's about oil. It's about oil from, it's funny, you know, that when someone knocks on the door and says, I want your land, and, there's this thing called oil, and I think it could catch on. You know, that's where it starts. And they're like, what's that? So, yeah, that's, that. You know, and then we go to the future in that play. So it's sprawling and very ambitious.
That's terrific. Well, Brett, look, that's fantastic. I think we should just talk quickly about the first offering in the new year, which is Feather in the Web,
yep.
Which is a part of Midsummer. So it starts on the 5th of February.
Yes, everyone's really excited about this. Quite a big cast. Declan Green is directing it, and it's really funny and audacious. And it's just a dream start to the season. We're really excited about that one. It's been very popular overseas. Lacerating satire of mainstream culture.
All power to you.
Thanks so much. I appreciate coming in. And, I wish you all the best with the podcast. It's very exciting.
Thanks, Brett. And our last guest today is Karen Sade, who's the CEO of the Port Phillip Community Group. Welcome, Karen.
Thanks, Greg. Thank you, Carmel. Nice to be here.
And you're a local?
I'm a local. I've lived in St Kilda now for literally just over 30 years.
Isn't that fantastic?
It's fantastic. I love it still.
Still?
Still.
That's good. And tell me what you've been doing locally that is fostering this love.
Yes. I suppose three of my most recent favourite things that I have done is I went to the opening of Postcards at Linden, which I go to every year, and I love it. I love the diversity of the art, and I also love it how everyone gets to submit a postcard, a piece of their artwork. So that's one of my favourite gigs. I love Linden. I've always loved Linden. I love the new additions to it. The other thing that I've recently been to
let's talk a bit more about the postcard.
Yeah, sure.
1,250 entrants this year that they've hung. 400 different artists.
I know. I should have known that, but I didn't. I tell you too. I love how it was curated this year, and I think because it now got more space with the new addition to Linden, I think it was just fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
Yes, it does look beautiful, and I went there as well for the opening. And what I love about it is some of the art's kooky, but it all looks good on the wall. It's something about there's a collective uplift.
I agree, and I think it's the skills of the curator that I love the groupings, and you're right, and some of the kooky stuff works just as well as some of the more established artists, because there's a few names that you sort of know a little bit about, but I just love how it's open and it's welcoming to everyone who wants to put something in there.
And I spent quite a deal of time trying to figure out what were the themes and the way it was hung, and
yes,
it was just way beyond me that it just looked good.
Can I say I did too, and I loved how some of the colour combinations, and I thought, have they grouped some of the animals together, some of the females, males, scenic viewings, etc. Yeah, I loved it. I just had a wander, and then I had another wander through on the weekend, which was also good.
So do yourself a favour. It's there until the 9th of
February. Yes, absolutely.
And it's every day of the week except Monday, and no public holidays, 10 till 4. What was your number two thing?
Okay, my number two thing is the Rain Room at the back of the Prince. Now, I went with a girlfriend on one of my days off. We were both a bit sceptical about the Rain Room itself. It's absolutely fantastic. You walk into a room and it's raining, but there's something about the thermal energy of your body that you're instructed not to stand too closely to another person, because then you get rained on. But you can literally wander through It's like wandering through a rainstorm, but you don't get wet. Don't ask me how it works. It's apparently it's an installation that's travelled the world from London to New York, and they've set it up at the back of the Prince. It was such good fun. I really enjoyed it. It was great.
So check on the website and I'll put the dates to see if it's still
going. Yes. They extended the dates.
Yeah, they have extended it.
Because
yeah.
It was so popular. It was sort of a little bit surreal, but it was very immersive. Yeah, I loved it. I loved it.
And you said three.
Yes, I said three.
Don't say I wasn't listening.
No, you are listening. The other thing is I was catching the tram into the city from my workplace, which is corner of Chapel and Carlisle. So I jumped on the 16 tram, which I like. And I hadn't done this for a while, but I love how the 16 and the 96 go around the Upper Esplanade. I've always loved that bit of that sweep as you come around the Esplanade, past the Esplanade Hotel, but you see the beach, sea bars, etc. And I know I've lived here for a long, long time, but it always reminds me of Paul Kelly's song, famous song.
That's fabulous. And do either of you have New Year's Eve plans?
I will be not in St Kilda, I'll be in New South Wales.
Well, that's a plan.
There you go, that's a plan.
I'll be at the retirement village with my dad in Ipswich, probably going to bed at 10 o'clock.
We do have a couple of local opportunities here, which I'll just get in by way of announcements. Go. One is at the Memo, they're having the Melbourne Scar Orchestra.
I saw that.
Now, that would be a fantastic night, I think. And, look, that's $50 or $80 for a seat. Another one that's of a similar ilk is at Firefly, where they're having Jack Howard, the Long Lost Brothers and Sister, that's his band, and Delicados, which is Fiona's band. And that's $34. That would be a great night. And here at the SB, which is a little bit more hardcore, they've got Kingswood playing as their headline act on New Year's Eve, and that's $48. So, you don't have to spend a fortune to have a good night on New Year's Eve.
That's great.
What sort of things has the Port Phillip Community Group got planned for, thinking Christmas. About the festive season with the good and bad of it?
Sure. You both know, but just for your listeners, so we work with people right across Port Phillip. Most of the people we work with live in rooming houses, may have lived experience of homeless, maybe living on the street, families in financial need, distress, etc. So on a daily basis, we assist people. But coming up for the festive season, what we do is we have an event called 5 Minutes of Fame, which is on the 3rd of December. And that's held up at the St Kilda Sports Club, the old thing in Fitzroy Street. And that's support. We get support from the Palais, from Rotary, Melbourne South. It's an open mic event. So if you want to see some amazing acts, we get about 100 people there at any one event. We hold it 4 times a year. Now, Christmas is special because we have Santa and we have Santa's sack, etc. So when I say open mic, I mean people get up and perform, tell sort of stories, poetry, play instruments, dance. We have a group of volunteers. We provide a 2-course meal. Serge from Garage Express, I'm going to give him a plug because he always does amazing trays of bread and butter pudding for the Christmas one. So that's just a fantastic night of entertainment. And this is for people who often are pretty isolated or marginalised and don't get to go out much at night. So that's one thing we've got. We've also got another thing which is based on the European, the Christmas market notion, which is on the 17th of December. And we get a lot of things donated through PayASAC Forward, Good 360, local organisations. And we set it up like a European Christmas market, but it's in the summer, obviously. St. Ali's Coffee Cart come and donate their coffee and Christmas. Yep. So we get a lot of toys at that one for kids. So people that often, can't put good stuff under Christmas trees come along to that, and everything is beautifully wrapped and packaged. Yes.
That's good. Well, I'll put both those events on the website.
Okay, that'd be great.
People can pick up the details.
Yeah, that'd be fantastic.
And okay, well, thanks for coming in, Karen.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Carmel.
You can get the newsletter every Sunday at 7 p.m. by subscribing at our website. Simply search G'day St Kilda to find our site and follow the subscribe link. Enjoy. And finally, season's greetings to all, and may your festivities be fun. Our next podcast will be February 2020.